This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today I'm interviewing Shawkat of Straight No Chaser. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
In 1983, Shawkat was approached by station manager Steve Lubishnik to do a jazz show on CFUV. They met through Scott Lewis, CFUV's jazz director.
There was a lot of jazz on CFUV when it started out, jazz programming. And he asked Scott, he was aware of that I had this store and a great interest in jazz, and Scott also worked for the Jazz Society. Mm-hmm. So the idea was to sort of integrate something from the community that linked the Jazz Society plus, you know, some place like Sweet Thunder Records.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about the Victoria Jazz Society.
Well, that was the beginning almost of the Jazz Society. Daryl Marr, who had been doing some promotions earlier on, had formed the fledgling Jazz Society, and, you know, it was, as always, volunteer run. Mm-hmm. At that time, the idea was to bring in people throughout the year. So that's what it used to do. And then this idea of the festival came about, and that developed. And it, you know, it was sort of something that happened right across Canada. So you would build up a festival circuit. Much easier to bring in people, you know. So those were the early days, yes.
And how was Sweet Thunder Records involved?
Well, when we were there at the beginning, Daryl asked us, again, because of, you know, so many coordinators, volunteers would come through Sweet Thunder, to start the selling tickets. We sort of designed a kind of a program for it for the first jazz festival, and we sold tickets. We were the place to talk to at the beginning because, you know, we were simply there on the weekdays and on Saturdays.
So people knew more about the Jazz Society through Sweet Thunder Records then?
I wouldn't say that, but I think, you know, we did go out and spread the message. You know, we would certainly let people know, and because we were an area that jazz lovers dropped into, there was always information available about jazz concerts, and musicians would also come, the local musicians who were performing, and, you know, give us their posters and so on.
Shawkat and his own company, Sweet Thunder Records, had a hand in building up CFUV's library.
Working closely with Scott Lewis, one of the things we felt in the early days, we didn't have a lot of music in our library. Mm-hmm. And this is really pre-CD days. The bands, local bands, or even bands from elsewhere, would basically send you cassettes. So cassettes were big. We had those. Some would produce records, and we would get those. But, you know, in those days, there was quite a network of jazz, of companies selling jazz. But it took a while before the station would reach out to them to get music. So my idea, Demetrius and I thought of this plan. We ran it by Scott. Scott wanted always to, you know, say for us to participate by having one of those information, you know, this program is sponsored by, et cetera, et cetera. So I put it to Scott that how about that we pay you in records? So that, you know, it would help build the jazz library, you know, which was something that, of course, Demetrius and I were both concerned about. with, you know, the station as well, that, you know, it should have a good library. So that's how we sort of started. So some of the vinyl you still see here came from Sweet Thunder Records a long time ago.
Did your, I guess, involvement in the station decrease once Sweet Thunder Records closed down?
Not really. I think, you know, in a way, I've been fairly consistent. I've had this show for a very long time, and it was good to share it with Demetrius, as, you know, we were both fairly busy in it, rather than doing it every week. And it was very nice to get Demetrius involved as well, because he has such a amazing knowledge of jazz, and he reaches in areas that, you know, are different to mine. So, you know, I think we ended up complementing each other. Mm. And so that's what we did. But I've stayed, by and large, a jazz programmer. Mm-hmm. And in the station.
Speaking of Demetrius, you were the one that got Demetrius involved at the station as well. How did you do that?
Well, one thing I did do, actually, but I mean, you know, these things were very ad hoc, and I was the jazz director when Scott Lewis left. And so being an area which attracted a lot of very knowledgeable jazz listeners, I was able to convince some of them to participate in the station. And so we were able to bring in some very knowledgeable collectors, you know, who brought their collections. And that really helped in the beginning because, you know, we didn't have such a big library at that time. I think that was the unique thing about a campus community station, that you could actually find the people. And we were just a perfect niche for jazz, as you can imagine. I think, you know, I was quite intrigued that so many people were interested. And we had people from all ages, and we had people from all professions and all interests, all different genres of jazz who came in and, you know, were part of the station. So I guess that was my only other sort of contribution. But I think by and large, it was very much a laissez-faire position, you know, in the sense that we coordinated it. Our jazz programming really worked well, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we did it quite effectively as a group. Okay. And, you know, we had programming every week.
Yeah.
Initially, 3 hours of programming every day. It went down to two when I think the station wanted to bring in, you know, a real variety and to give people opportunities. I think when multicultural programming became, you know, a part of, you know, what CFUV wanted to do, and I thought that was a really good move, then, of course, you know, we broadened our perspective on at the radio station.
With Demetrius, he told me during his interview that you were the one that kind of pushed him through and you calmed his nerves of being on the air. How did you do that?
Well, I think what I did was for us to do shows together. And I mean, you know, he was really a natural. He has such a lot of knowledge to share. And I think once he got familiar with operating the controls and speaking in front of a mic, there was no holding him back. So he was fine after that.
Straight No Chaser.
Yes.
I want to know how it got its name.
Well, it comes from the name of a song written by Thelonious Monk. Mm-hmm. And we use it as our theme show still. It was recorded in the late 40s. And the story goes that when they finished the recording, they'd done a number of original tunes, and they went to have a drink at a bar near the recording studio. And so somebody asked Monk, who was always somewhat of an eccentric, you know, what was the name of the last tune we played? And he just turned around and said, Straight No Chaser. And that's how their name stuck. And, you know, that was the expression that people would use in a bar when they wanted a good stiff drink with no water to chase up. They usually give you a glass of water. Mm-hmm. I find it rather funny and ironic that being a teetotaler, that's the name we stuck with.
Here is the namesake song for Straight No Chaser.
It is performed by Thelonious Monk.
So after 30, more than 30 years of Street Note Chaser being on the air, how do you keep things interesting both for yourself and your listeners?
Well, for me, I think the interesting thing about jazz, it's very different than, say, I guess, popular music, you know, where, you know, the push is for the newest. With jazz, it's somewhat like classical music, but I think you could say that about pop music too, that, you know, it's got such a wide variety of music now. You're always rediscovering things. And one of the things I like to do is that the radio station gives me a real focus to go back. I find myself that I'm not only going forward, but always going back. You know, for instance, if you want to explore anybody's music, Thelonious Monk, Duke Ellington, John Coltrane, Bill Evans, you know, you can always go back. And it's like, taking up a book that you read when you were in your teens and you reread it, you get something different from it. And I find that with music, that, you know, it does different things and I feel differently about it. So, you know, I've always been such a fan, really since my teenage years of this music. It calls to me somehow that I've never looked back. So it's never a problem.
On the topic of jazz, you told me that you believe jazz music is the music of North America. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. You know, its roots go back to Afro-Americans. And in a way, when the slaves came to America, they brought their music with them. And they brought two very specific things. One was this call and response pattern, which were known as work songs. So when they would work in plantations to just keep their spirits up, somebody would call out something and the others would respond, and it would become a rhythmic thing. So there is a great element in blues and of course jazz is derived from the blues, and you have this kind of structure of music. But also it was the coming together of two different traditions. You had the harmonic element from the European tradition, along with the rhythmic element that came from the Africans and the particular style of singing. Yeah. And I think it was really born here because, you know, it was unique. Mm-hmm. And men like Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, I mean, they have basically defined modern music. And of course, they're not the only two, but, you know, so many of those brilliant people. So I always think that it is really music of North America.
Why is it important for CFUV to play the music of North America, as you said, on its airwaves?
You could make an argument that, yes, this is music that comes from this area. But more than that, I think it's a music that appeals to people the world over. Yeah. And I think you no longer can define it by saying, well, this is North American music and only North Americans play it. I think when a brilliant idea goes out in the world, it is taken up by people and, you know, there's no stopping it. So, I mean, I enjoy making sure that it is present because it's not the popular music of today. But I think, you know, if you are exposed to it, which, you know, being a real a jazz fan, I like people to hear it and to realize it has so much to offer. And it breaks stereotypes all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people think that they know what jazz is. I can tell them, well, listen a little more and you might be surprised.
What does CFUV do to keep jazz music alive in the Victoria community?
Well, one of the things that we did very effectively, and particularly under various... Steve Libichnik was really a very important figure, and I think he influenced a lot of the younger people who volunteered and stayed on. And Randy, who'd been associated with the station for the longest time, was really very effective working with the Jazz Society in getting, you know, CFUV would support, sponsor jazz concerts. And I think we continue to do that. And really, it's something being present here. One of the things that CFUV also does, because it is a station that is not bound by any commercial directions, which is a wonderful thing, it will sponsor music that would be hard to bring in on just a commercial basis. There's a lot of cutting-edge music which CFUV has sponsored, and I think that it's a great thing.
Since the beginning of CFUV, Shawkat has stood by the station and provided unforgettable content on Straight No Chaser. He has left a mark in the Victoria Jazz Society and will be forever remembered at the University of Victoria Radio Club. Today's last song is Pesh Amush by Jenga Reinhardt. This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Shawkat, co-host of Straight No Chaser, which airs on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.